Book 7, Chapter 10, How, when Absalom was beaten, he was caught in a tree by his hair, and was slain. And this was the state of David and his followers. But Absalom got together a vast army of the Hebrews to oppose his father, and passed therewith over the river Jordan, and sat down not far off Mahanaim, in the country of Gilead. He appointed Amasa to be captain of all his host, instead of Joab his kinsman. His father was Ithra, and his mother Abigail. Now she and Zeruiah, the mother of Joab, were David's sisters. But when David had numbered his followers and found them to be about 4,000, he resolved not to tarry till Absalom attacked him, but set over his men captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, and divided his army into three parts. The one part he committed to Joab, the next to Abishai, Joab's brother, and the third to Ittai, David's companion and friend, but one that came from the city Gath. And when he was desirous of fighting himself among them, his friends would not let him. And this refusal of theirs was founded upon very wise reasons. For, said they, if we be conquered when he is with us, we have lost all good hopes of recovering ourselves. But if we should be beaten in one part of our army, the other parts may retire to him, and may thereby prepare a greater force, while the enemy will naturally suppose that he hath another army with him. So David was pleased with this, their advice, and resolved himself to tarry at Mahanaim, and as he sent his friends and commanders to the battle, he desired them to show all possible alacrity and fidelity, and to bear in mind what advantages they had received from him, which, though they had not been very great, yet they had not been quite inconsiderable. And he begged of them to spare the young man Absalom, lest some mischief should befall himself, if he should be killed. And thus did he send out his army to the battle, and wished them victory therein. Then did Joab put his army in battle array against the enemy in the great plain, where he had a wood behind him. Absalom also brought his army into the field to oppose him. Upon the joining of the battle, both sides showed great actions with their hands and their boldness, the one side exposing themselves to the greatest hazards, and using their utmost alacrity, that David might recover his kingdom, and the other being no way deficient, either in doing or suffering, that Absalom might not be deprived of that kingdom, and be brought to punishment by his father for his impudent attempt against him. Those also who were the most numerous were solicitous that they might not be conquered by those few that were with Joab, and with the other commanders, because that would be the greater disgrace to them, while David's soldiers strove greatly to overcome so many 10,000s as the enemy had with them. Now David's men were conquerors, as superior in strength and skill in war. So they followed the others as they fled away through the forests and valleys. Some they took prisoners, and many they slew, and more in the flight than in the battle, for there fell about 20,000 that day. But all David's men ran violently upon Absalom, for he was easily known by his beauty and tallness. He was himself also afraid lest his enemies should seize on him, so he got upon the king's mule and fled. But as he was carried with violence, and noise, and a great motion, as being himself light, he entangled his hair greatly in the large boughs of a knotty tree that spread a great way, and there he hung after a surprising manner. And as for the beast, it went on farther, and that swiftly, as if his master had been still upon his back. But he, hanging in the air upon the boughs, was taken by his enemies. Now when one of David's soldiers saw this, he informed Joab of it. And when the general said that if he had shot at and killed Absalom, he would have given him 50 shekels, he replied, "I would not have killed my master's son if thou wouldst have given me 1,000 shekels, especially when he desired that the young man might be spared in the hearing of us all." But Joab bade him show him where it was that he saw Absalom hang, whereupon he shot him to the heart and slew him. And Joab's armor-bearers stood round the tree and pulled down his dead body and cast it into a great chasm that was out of sight, and laid a heap of stones upon him till the cavity was filled up, and had both the appearance and the bigness of a grave. Then Joab sounded a retreat, and recalled his own soldiers from pursuing the enemy's army, in order to spare their countrymen. Now Absalom had erected for himself a marble pillar in the king's dale, 2 furlongs distant from Jerusalem, which he named Absalom's Hand, saying that if his children were killed, his name would remain by that pillar. For he had 3 sons and 1 daughter, named Tamar, as we said before, who, when she was married to David's grandson Rehoboam, bare a son Abijah by name, who succeeded his father in the kingdom. but of these we shall speak in a part of our history that will be more proper. After the death of Absalom, they returned every one to their own homes respectively. But now Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok the high priest, went to Joab, and desired he would permit him to go and tell David of this victory, and to bring him the good news that God had afforded his assistance and his providence to him. However, he did not grant his request, but said to him, "Wilt thou, who hast always been the messenger of good news, now go and acquaint the king that his son is dead?" So he desired him to desist. He then called Cushi and committed the business to him, that he should tell the king what he had seen. But when Ahimaaz again desired him to let him go as a messenger, and assured him that he would only relate what concerned the victory, but not concerning the death of Absalom, he gave him leave to go to David. Now he took a nearer road than the former did, for nobody knew it but himself, and he came before Cushi. Now as David was sitting between the gates, and waiting to see when somebody would come to him from the battle, and tell him how it went, one of the watchmen saw Ahimaaz running, and before he could discern who he was, he told David that he saw somebody coming to him, who said he was a good messenger. A little while after, he informed him that another messenger followed him, whereupon the king said that he also was a good messenger. But when the watchman saw Ahimaaz, and that he was already very near, he gave the king notice that it was the son of Zadok the high priest who came running. So David was very glad, and said he was a messenger of good tidings, and brought him such news from the battle as he desired to hear. While the king was saying this, Ahimaaz appeared, and worshipped the king. And when the king inquired of him about the battle, he said he brought him the good news of victory and dominion. And when he inquired what he had to say concerning his son, he said that he came away on the sudden as soon as the enemy was defeated, but that he heard a great noise of those that pursued Absalom, and that he could learn no more because of the haste he made when Joab sent him to inform him of the victory.
But when Cushi was come,
and had worshipped him, and informed him of the victory, he asked him about his son, who replied, "May the like misfortune befall thine enemies as hath befallen Absalom." That word did not permit either himself or his soldiers to rejoice for the victory, though it was a very great one. But David went up to the highest part of the city and wept for his son and beat his breast, tearing the hair of his head, tormenting himself in all manner of ways, and crying out, "O my son, I wish that I had died myself and ended my days with thee." For he was of a tender natural affection, and had extraordinary compassion for this son in particular. But when the army and Joab heard that the king mourned for his son, they were ashamed to enter the city in the habit of conquerors, but they all came in as cast down, and in tears, as if they had been beaten. Now while the king covered himself, and grievously lamented his son, Joab went in to him and comforted him, and said, "O my lord the king, thou art not aware that thou layest a blot upon thyself by what thou now doest. For thou seem to hate those that love thee, and undergo dangers for thee, nay, to hate thyself and thy family, and to love those that are thy bitter enemies, and to desire the company of those that are no more, and who have been justly slain. For had Absalom gotten the victory, and firmly settled himself in the kingdom, there had been none of us left alive, but all of us, beginning with thyself and thy children, had miserably perished, while our enemies had not wept for his, but rejoiced over us, and punished even those that pitied us in our misfortunes. And thou art not ashamed to do this in the case of one that has been thy bitter enemy, who, while he was thine own son, hath proved so wicked to thee. Leave off, therefore, thy unreasonable grief, and come abroad, and be seen of thy soldiers, and return them thanks for the alacrity they showed in the fight. For I myself will this day persuade the people to leave thee, and to give the kingdom to another, if thou continuest to do thus. And then I shall make thee to grieve bitterly and in earnest." Upon Joab speaking thus to him, he made the king leave off his sorrow, and brought him to the consideration of his affairs. So David changed his habit, and exposed himself in a manner fit to be seen by the multitude, and sat at the gates, whereupon all the people heard of it, and ran together to him, and saluted him. And this was the present state of David's affairs.